Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Cook the lone setback, but it's a fumble, and it's recovered by the Patriots. It was a mishandled exchange between Josh Allen and Dawson Knox. Fires underneath, it's complete, and then fumble. The ball is out again, and it looks like the Patriots have it. It's another turnover for Buffalo. Allen has time, pumps, fires over the middle, and it's picked off. Intercepted by Marcus Jones inside the 10-yard line, and he's out to the 12. The third turnover of the game for Buffalo.
We didn't take advantage of our opportunity. I thought our defense played well, and they bailed us out a couple times, but it's not going to win many NFL games turning the ball over three times.
Thought we beat ourselves, turning the ball over three times. When they get 10 points, we get one takeaway, don't get any points off it. Just not enough complimentary football. Didn't seem like we were into a rhythm offensively enough.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And welcome to Complimentary Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What will your defining image of this game be? It stands out because we've never seen the uniforms before. So, like, that'll change over time, but it's the first time we saw the Bills wear those uniforms. And I wonder, like, what... We've got three turnovers here that there, and maybe we're going to harp on. Is it Diggs? Is it what is it? Do you think will be the
Diggs is hard to escape. I mean, to have that game in this spot for him was it stings. 10 for 145 or whatever the final numbers are. All you can really say is he didn't get in the end zone on you. But wow. I think not that it's like the thing. I mean, the turnovers, the penalties, not being able to cover Diggs, I think hurt you more. But, you know, at the end, it's three straight incompletions by the Bills with a chance to, you know, go ahead in the game by four.
And you force, mean they're down three.
They're down three, and they have to. They put together first downs on that drive and stalled. They had a first and 10 at the New England 27-yard line.
Like 3 minutes?
Yeah, and it's three incompletions, and, you know, you end up kicking.
Two of which are Allen just running around like it's the last play of the game almost.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. And, you know, in most cases, I'm willing – to defend him, because I think a lot of last night was him with a lot of time to throw. They repeatedly were pointing out on the broadcast on TV last night, for those of us who weren't at the game, that
oh, you know, wait till you hear my defining images.
He seems to have a lot, you know, seems to have a lot of time back there, and just can't seem to find anyone. But one of the plays, maybe the third down play, Warren Sharp has tweeted this, and a lot of other people have, and you know, it's not 100% necessarily that he blows it, Allen, here, but he bails on what looks like a pretty clean pocket. He's being spied by, I think, a linebacker or a D lineman. I don't know who, but someone is standing sort of. There's a gap there, and that dude is not coming through it. Maybe Allen thinks he's going to, which is why he bails out. But and maybe if he stays there, that guy comes at him. I don't know. But he gets out of there, and I think it's Samuel is running from right to left across the formation towards the corner of the end zone. And the safety... Even if the safety doesn't leave his spot because Allen bails out, I think that's still open enough. I just don't know how Allen doesn't see that. I think he must not have seen Samuel. There must have been too much noise, you know, too much traffic.
Well, he would have blended in, Samuel. Did Allen not say this? Did he not make this obvious point that all my guys were just blending in with the crowd? I couldn't see anybody throughout the game.
I've not heard that, isn't it? But anyway, it's kind of on brand for me, right? Like, we're always arguing about Sean McDermott in the defense and 9 yards of play in playoff losses against Kansas City. And I'm over here going, it's A.J. Klein and Kyer Elam, and I've got the ball with a chance to win. And that still, I think, is a failure on the offense's part. Last night, all the warts and all your three turnovers and all your penalties and everything, I've got the ball at the 27-yard line, first and 10. You know, I'm not home free unless I can run the clock all the way down and then score, but that might have been hard from where they were. I think they
would have been possible.
They missed again. The offense did not come through there. I haven't seen cut-ups of the other two incompletions, but that third down play, there's an opportunity there.
Well, first down, isn't that a Shakir drop?
I'm trying to remember. I'm not positive.
Second and third seemed like they were mostly the same, which is Allen just on the loose, trying to find, it's Coleman on second down and it's Shakir on third down. That's almost interference, the third down play, I would say. But you can't assume that.
Oh,
call.
On Shakir, where he ultimately throws
Gonzalez.
It. Yeah, right.
Well, their problems are still their problems. And it's just a relative term. Like, this is a team that does not have as many problems as most other teams. But you still have, it's not only their offense. You still have this issue that you're talking about. Who can get open ever? just sort of functioning. This team has made life hard on Allen before, and they did that again. It's a respected coach and some good talent. Like, this wasn't the Dolphins. This was not a team that Allen can just sort of close his eyes and beat. Far from it. So you have that part of it here in play, too. It wasn't like the Bills had a terrible night offensively or did nothing, but it's kind of mostly what it's looked like the whole year, or since week three, anyway. Week one was just off the rails, and the Jet game was so easy. But they've had stretches in these three home games where they weren't, perfect.
Yeah, we've been, to some extent or another, arguing with one another, not necessarily you and I, although there's been some of that, through these games. Like, well, they won by 12, it's fine, but you're uncomfortable for large portions of the game because it's closer than it feels like it should be. But then they come out and they win, they beat Miami by 10 and they beat the Saints by 12. Okay, well, they got their 31 points and we're fine. Nothing to see here. But you keep cutting games that tightly. You keep playing in a style that will often allow for your opponent to... Now, yesterday was more, I think, because of the turnovers. I mean, the Bills don't turn the ball over in New England's territory or at their own 10-yard line or whatever it was. Those are points both ways, right? You're giving them three. You held them to three. Good. You're costing yourself at least three with the interception. And so that's why it was the way it was. But bottom line is that game was a lot like the previous two games, just with the mistakes sprinkled in.
Nobody roughed the punter last night.
Right.
Is one difference.
That you didn't get a gift. You just did not get the gift anywhere there. And so, part of the reason why I think fans and even some of us have been, a little worried and we're picking at the warts on a 4-0 team that's scoring 30 points a game is because you're cutting it fine and someone's going to get you. If you make some mistakes, you're really going to get got. And that's kind of what happened last night. They've been playing very close to the middle, and yesterday they didn't have enough to get by.
Which is really not that surprising.
No.
Right?
No, I was said all week, I'm not going to be surprised if New England wins this game. I think they're good, and the quarterback's excellent.
Well, it's true in a vacuum, but it's also just true by how they've looked.
Right.
You're playing, like New Orleans made it tough. They had a chance to win. Miami had a chance to win. So I think the season is still the same season. It's a more interesting division conversation now. It was completely over, it seemed. Had they won last night, you're just sort of sitting here waiting till January. And I think that's still mostly how it's going to be, but we don't know that. I think we know, and I also think this is sort of – it feels right for what this looked like before the season even started – is that they're not perfect, but Allen is great, and they're going to be fine. But what does that mean in January in Arrowhead or in – it's not really called the Hoosier Dome anymore. I mean, wherever – or here.
Or like, here, wherever, yeah.
Yeah, like what happens in those games? And you just can't know. This just changes the calculus on the one seed and how smooth of a ride maybe it was going to be. I mean, the Patriots are maybe a bigger story than the Bills.
I think so. I mean, I think in the league, when a team that is positioned where New England is coming into the year, second-year quarterback that most objective people are pretty high on, if not very high on, is a good skill set there. He ticks the intangibles boxes. Guys want to play with him. They want to go to battle with him, yada, yada, all that stuff. But, like, is the rest of the roster really up to it? You know, how good can you expect to be when you're in year one of really a brand new program, right? New philosophies on both sides of the ball. Say what you will about Vrabel's ties to the organization. He's a different coach. He's not part of the, you know, Belichick. I mean, he was coached by Belichick. Anyways.
It's a reset.
It's a reset. And so what should you be expecting and how fast? Well, you know, they served some notice last night, I think, that they can – I mean, they did something no team has done since November of 23, which is come in here and win a game in the regular season.
Denver.
It was a really good night for them, and the quarterback especially. I mean, he just made some of the throws he made. The long one to Diggs down the sideline where he's rolling to his right is – that's an Allen play.
Yep.
That is a play we've watched Allen make dozens, if not hundreds of times – in his career already, and here's Drake May. Prime time, you know, upstart, and bang.
Totally get the comp after watching him last night.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who didn't really hear it or get it, like that May is sort of a version of Allen, exactly. There were three or four plays in this game.
Or the play where Daquan Jones is hanging on him. The first play of their winning drive.
Right, right.
I mean, it's about to be a 12-yard loss.
Allen has so reconfigured how we watch football, because like it's just never over with him. A play is never over with him, it seems. And those plays you're talking about last night in the fourth quarter were likewise. I mean, he's just – how long were those plays? 10, 12 seconds each? I mean, he's leaving the pocket and he's dancing backwards and like they never get there, but he didn't complete the passes. But, you know, May – was this exactly last night on a few of these plays where if they had win probability, well, they might. Within plays, not just within games.
It's like success of this
what
play.
What are the chances that one long one to Diggs ends up at first and goal from the five when he's, you know, scrambling? Yeah. What are the chances there? And if you watch, and you probably have, you've watched that play from behind May. Where is it? Like, Diggs is out there, but is it Rapp who's behind him and White who's in front of him?
Yep.
And May's got two guys coming toward him.
Rapp ends up closest to having a chance to deflect it or something. He's the player that dives as Diggs is diving.
And Diggs has to make an amazing play himself, getting his knee down. And he had two of these games in this game where in the crowd we're like, no way, right? Like, let's look at the scoreboard and like, I guess it's good. McDermott, I think, had his red challenge flag in hand on not that one, but one that was over right by him.
Right.
And I looked over at McDermott, he put it back in his pocket. Like, it's not that.
We don't have it.
We don't have it.
Right.
So the Bills got a little bit of a taste of their own stuff with May. And I dare say last week, complimentary football talk, we were right there on this game, you and I. We were right there on this game. Like, he's live. They're not Miami when it comes to Allen. Like, there have been tougher games against them. You want to respect Vrabel. Then we'll see. They turn the ball over a lot, and wouldn't you know it, it was the Bills for the first time in forever in this game. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just recover their own fumbles like they always do.
Right.
I don't know why that was, like, not the plan, but it did not happen last night. In fact, the one that they got, right, it was one play after another early in the game after the botched handoff to Knox, and then Stevenson fumbled immediately thereafter. You see Trey White, like, dive on that ball and completely miss it. But, you know, he had backup on that. You know, the offense, there's a lot to say. There always is. They didn't get gashed in this game. You were seeing six yards per carry.
Right.
But you did have May, Diggs, Kayshon Booty late, Henry on a big one. Like, they did hit down the field enough times. Not all the time, but enough times. And the secondary is still a concern. I mean, we were getting trade deadline calls last week, and it was receiver and DB. And they just don't have Hairston yet. And as the season ticks along, you wonder just how long it might take him, if he's even good,
right,
to get there.
Because we really have no idea what he's going to be.
No idea. He missed most of the summer.
He got hurt so early in camp. Yeah.
And it's still, you know, who knows how long. It could be immediately back, but they would have probably put him, you know, given that designation last week if they thought he had a chance to play against Atlanta. Right. There's a bye after Atlanta. I don't think any of those guys is playing against Atlanta. Then they have a bye after that. Than Carolina and Kansas City. So their problems, I think, are their problems, you know, and you're going to lose the close ones, right? Don't we always say that?
You're going to
lose the turnover sometimes.
Right.
Don't in a normal society, even the best teams lose a close game, lose turnovers, and here we are.
At least we can finally put to bed the numerous times that incorrectly the turnover thing has been referenced. I see it in tweets from like ESPN. Yeah. Like they've won the turnover. No, they haven't lost it. I know it's not as sexy, so, you know, but you want to be right? Well, now it's over. They lost it. There's no tie. It's over. So go ahead, start a new streak. I don't know. We'll start counting again, I suppose. But at least that's behind them now. Not that that means anything. I'm sorry. It's kind of frivolous for me to bring up.
I've thought it. One thing you didn't get last night was James Cook. I mean, 49 yards, right. No catches,
Allen's,
no touchdowns.
Allen's their leading rusher in this game. Yeah, barely.
Mostly out of desperate. Couple of big ones.
Yep.
But Cook didn't even give you that, really.
Nope.
Johnson had got his turns. Davis got a turn or two. Nothing's really happening again.
Nope.
There with him. Kincaid had a good night. He's not, I don't think his route percentage went up or anything, but he got the ball a few times in this game. Coleman gets in the end zone. Samuel gets in the end zone. The Patriots get in the race is the
right
top story here. And now you went from what would have been 5-0 to 2-3, and nobody's even else is 2-3 in that division.
Right.
To game up with a loss to them.
Head to head, right.
And we talked about their schedule a lot in the offseason. It's funny, like the Jets seem like they're just so nowhere. But they had a tougher start. They had a tough start to their season, you know, in terms of their schedule. And if you don't overcome that, now you end up where they are. Or not end up, but you can be where they are right now, where it feels like the wheels are off.
Right.
And who knows if guys get benched, and it just makes it so much harder. New England, on the contrary, had the benefit of a pretty easy start before this game and then after this game.
Right. This was the big one.
And they win
on their schedule, and they got it.
They go Saints, Titans, Browns next.
you're gonna have to hold yourself together here, Bills. You know,
then Atlanta, Tampa, Jets, and Bengals after that, and Giants. Their next eight. Let me just actually make it their next eight games, not their next three.
It's a lot to count.
Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Bengals, Giants. Before they play the Bills again. How many games do they win?
The Bucks.
Six.
Bucks and Atlanta are the hardest games on there.
Well, they've shown they can lose to anybody.
Yeah.
But they can beat anybody. They're maybe one of those teams. So. Are they 9-4 going to the rematch in Foxborough in December? Maybe. I mean, they would take 9-4, right?
I think so. Sitting here at 3-2, yeah, sure.
Would they take 8-5? Maybe they would take 8-5. Let's go to Andrew here. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Shop. Hey, Bulldog. Good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
I just want to share with you, like, now we're officially the first quarter of the season is officially a half game over. And I think last night's season really showed you our report card and illuminated where the key issues are in the three key areas. Number one, the secondary can't cover. Like McDermott defenses used to live off elite safety play, Poyer Hyde. We haven't had that for 2 years. Rapp and Cole Bishop, frankly, don't look good in coverage. You know, last night was the first real passing attack that and good offense that we faced, and they looked bad. Trey got cooked a lot. And when it comes to the everybody eats thing, I think that needs a rebrand to every pass catcher eats, but only James Cook eats in the running back room. Ray Davis has 4 carries for 6 yards, not including the Jets blowout game. Ty Johnson has 1 catch for 8 yards season to date.
How about that?
And then when it comes to the pass catchers, like Kincaid had six receptions on 6 targets, but he's only playing like 56 or 57% of snaps. Why don't we have our best players on the field more?
Who are they?
Especially with like...
Who are they?
You know, pardon?
Who are they?
I don't know if we know, and I think part of that is
well,
probably...
I think I know.
Yeah,
to cite Ty Johnson's stats, the point is that Ty Johnson's one of their best players, I hope. Like, Cook is their best running back.
I'm not saying he's... I'm talking specifically for the pass catchers.
Okay, well, Shakir, Coleman, and...
Yeah.
Kincaid, I guess.
Everybody eats. I meant it's relegated to the tight ends and wide receivers. Like when it comes to the
that was the point of it though. That's the point of the term.
Right, but they're eating a lot less than last year. Like Ty Johnson and Ray Davis had more significant roles.
They're not who everybody eats is about. It's about distributing the ball through the air. Johnson a little bit. But
yeah, if he's your third down back, yeah.
It's not like he matters that much in this whole what's it called? Era? what even is it? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not confusing who their best players are, is it? Is there somebody on the team, on the offense, that, like, if you're making this guy's point, or like, this guy needs to play more, who is it?
I think maybe Kincaid. If he's, you know, around 50% snap share and even targets per run and all that stuff, like he smashed last night 6 for 100, but he made absolutely the most out of the opportunities he got. He did not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there might be a conversation to be had about a little less with the different packages and Tyrell Shavers and this and that. And, like, let's get Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer, if those are your best three receivers, on the field with Kincaid and see if we can discover a consistent passing game. Can any of those guys get open? I mean, Kincaid's getting open against man. Like, I think the story of this game is mostly Allen not being able to trust that guys are going to get open. And so he's...
Go figure.
He's not delivering quickly. He's maybe skittish about that because, you know, the clock in his head is ticking and he's in the pocket, so he's going to get out of there maybe sooner than he has to sometimes because he's not trusting it. And, you know, weirdly enough, this is about where they were at this time last season. They lost those 2 games in a row to Baltimore and Houston was the one, right? It was 9 completions and like barely 100 yards against the Houston Texans. And what did they have? They had the ability to shut you down playing a lot of man. And New England did plenty of that last night. And where's the wins? Where are the open guys? Right, I get this one play, this one example from right before the field goal. But yeah, other than that, I feel like it was a lot of Allen dropping back and like, nope.
Yeah, and that's just exactly where we've been for more than a year.
Yep,
they just don't have. It's one thing for me to say, well, we're not really confused over who their best players are we? It's another to say, well, how good are those players? Because again, this team really needs Allen to play way up here, or they get it from Cook, which was not there in this game. And if you're going to play that personnel, then you can't have Knox on the field.
Right.
And he still matters a lot in, I think, how they see themselves. You know, big physical team. This team stood up to them, you know, like the Dolphins never do.
I have not seen it floating around on social media this morning, but I know on the game telecast last night, the interception that Allen throws, they have an end zone, like, you know, behind him, shot of that, and literally to me, what Allen does there is I'm just gonna throw it at Shakir, even though he's covered, no one is open. He's back there, and you can see the whole field, and there are just Patriots jerseys everywhere you'd want to go with the ball. There's just nothing happening.
But of course, again, Samuel is 100% open
on third and 10. That's right.
On their what is that, their last offensive play?
It is, yes.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Thanks, Andrew. We'll have Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio as we go through the day. It is Football Monday on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a hell of a comparison to be compared to Josh Allen. But as you come into your own, Drake May has to be Drake May. You know, and I was just so proud of him, you know, coming in here and leading the team. You know, being a young quarterback can be hard sometimes, and that's why you have a supporting cast. You know, running backs making plays, receivers making plays, and let them know that you got his back. So I was just super proud of him.
Stephon Diggs, scoreboard. Patriots 23, Bills 20. I was sitting in the third row last night behind the Patriots bench. It's just hard to take your eyes off him. He is always up and talking and just gesticulating. Like, he's just, you've seen it. He was ours. I mean, there is so much energy with him. I was near fans who were giving it to him, and they got a reaction, and I think maybe even from Diggs. They certainly got it from security. But what I was thinking was, did these guys not watch Ryder Cup? Because you have to, if the point is go Bills, how do you not know?
Just sort of don't poke him.
Some guys love it.
Right.
And they want it. And you know what he wouldn't as much like maybe is to be ignored. That guy cannot live being ignored. So, I mean, maybe we just don't heckle the best golfers in the world anymore, and maybe we leave him alone next time. But great game. I mean, he did it.
Yeah, I mean, he's I don't know. He probably would have, in his head, draw up a scenario where I come back to Buffalo. He probably would have liked to get in the end zone. There's one, maybe his longest reception of the night, where he's trying to split tacklers. He ends up getting dragged down about the 2-yard line. And you see him pound the turf the way you see DBs do when they know they should have had an interception.
Yeah.
It was that kind of like, I was so close. I almost, but still, 10 for, he's, Mays the quarterback. And so he delivers on some promise, and he's the story. But I think, Diggs, 10 for 146 against your former team. And it was, divisive enough when he left. I mean, that's an incredible night.
They needed each other, but they've got each other. That's how they won this game, May and Diggs. Here's Adam with us. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to the show for a little bit, and great show. And thanks
well,
for taking
just started.
The time to give us the. I've been listening since this morning about 9 and etc. I've had it on all day at work. I keep hearing this turnover kind of concept, and the only thing that bothers me is such athletes are allowed to have bad games. You know, we're not going to be perfect, and a perfect season is so hard to do anyway. Just one interception where he tried to force the ball in the middle of the field and et cetera, everyone's going to make mistakes. And so I wouldn't really bash out, not you guys, but the media and the fans. Don't bash him too much. My second thing I want to say is, man, fantasy football, your lineup. If you started Rico Dowell, 34.5, 35 points he did for fantasy managers, man, saved my day and a half. I'll tell you that. And then one other point that I want to make. Does it seem like there could be a connection after maybe a year or two? Maybe Stephon Diggs doesn't want to play with the Patriots anymore. Is there a way, and I'm not sure, and I'm asking you guys, is there a way that maybe Diggs in the future comes back to Buffalo?
Who knows?
If you're thinking about this in just a clear mind, right, Super Bowl teams that have won in the previous years, right, they had some decent wide receivers. I'm not saying they're – Puka Nacua style and et cetera, getting a lot of yards per game. but it only seems that the offense of the Bills runs through, obviously, Allen and Cook, and some sort of spark needs to happen, and we have Dalton Kincaid. I'm just more or less, where do we get another good wide receiver in the near future? And do you think that maybe this year could be something where Keon Coleman breaks out a little more, like he's kind of anticipated and supposed to kind of?
Look, I mean, you've asked like 15 questions. It's been 5 weeks. Whatever the Coleman breakout is going to be, like, we're well into the season now. So it probably can't be Keon Coleman. Maybe he can do better than he's doing, but nobody's given them more than four catches a game here, right? Like, Coleman's making some plays. Big mistake last night. You get that with him, too. Is there a trade? Maybe. Like, there could be, we do this again like last year. Maybe there's somebody like that. I have no idea if Stephon Diggs will want to play for the Bills in 2 years. He'll be 33. I probably won't care if he wants to play for them in 2 years. But what's relevant right now is that he's not dead, right? That he came off a torn ACL in pretty short order for an injury like that and had a huge role in a very big win for them. So I don't know what will happen down the road, but it looks good right now, doesn't it?
It definitely does. There was question about when he got hurt and even into the summer whether he'd even be available by now. And not only is he available, he's doing that last night. Yeah, I mean, your next opportunity is a little less than a month away at the trade deadline to augment, like they did last year, their receiving core. Oddly enough, after a couple of games where it started to dawn on them, hey, you know what? We don't have enough guys or even a guy who can separate on man coverage. And so that's going to be kind of our kryptonite here. If we can't, you know, if we play a team that trusts their corners and their DBs in general to play that way, you know, it frees you up to do a lot of different things. And so you can look at that market again. Maybe the Bills and Brandon Bean will arrive at the same destination they did last October, which was we need another guy. So you can go explore that. They'll be, you know, losing teams, the Saints, the Browns. Like, look around. Maybe you can do that. And if not, then we see how this year plays out overall. We've still got many months to go before we get an answer on that. But if they don't add something, or if they do, next winter and spring will be like it's sounded the last 3 or 4 years here, which is, do I need to get another guy? Or forget the question mark. I need to get another guy. I need more here. I need someone who can naturally get free of man coverage. Like the Samuel play on 3rd and 10, that looks to be zone coverage to me. I'm not an expert on this sort of stuff, but like he runs off the line. Nobody's with him, and he just goes across the formation, and there's a safety back there, but he's not even – he's just covering an area, not Samuel. So that came against what I think was at least zone or some mix of man and zone. But when they manned up on them, nobody really got a look.
Again, go figure, right? Like, this is
right.
This is usually what we're talking about when they lose. They just don't lose that often.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Here's Eric next. Hi, Eric.
Hey, peace, fellas. Yo, Bulldog, it was great to see you at Borderlands, man. What a magical experience, right?
Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, man, it was so dope. Anyway, Shope, riffing off of what you were saying about Stephon's energy, it just kind of brought to mind that I don't ever really see that level of energy almost ever on our sidelines. And I know different strokes for different folks, but I think last night in particular seemed rather apathetic across the board. And on top of like being sloppy and whatnot, but did you guys find the team to be apathetic overall yesterday, or was it just a bad day? I'll take it off the air.
Okay. I can't say that I thought that, but I'm not saying that you're wrong. Last week, a couple times I brought up, you know, just talking to fans. We're exhausted already, right? I mean, there's night game after night game, home game. And I don't know, like that could have been something. Also, it's just sort of common sense that the Patriots would have had more motivation, even if that's the word, for this game. Like this was a lot. This was a big test for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that much to lose. You want to compete with the Bills. And if you can beat them, even better. Whereas the Bills have to find motivation. Maybe it's harder. They're winning so easily. They're not really pushed. So it just seems like that would be common sense. But that wouldn't be true of everybody on the team, right? Just Diggs is such, it's why you want him on your team. Not just is he so good, but you want that sort of energy source. And, you know, we rode the ride, and it does eventually get old.
Yeah, there are times where it creates maybe as much or more trouble than the positive that it can create. But you get a game like last night, I'm sure the Patriots today are not at all worried about his personality or his style on the sideline. I'm sure they feel like they plugged into it and it helped them, you know. But if it goes the wrong way, it can be detrimental. But it certainly was not last night. No question about that.
Louis's next. Hi, Louis.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bulldog. How you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks, Louis. I just kind of wanted to get my general thoughts on this game. You know, I think I'm a firm believer that two things can be true at the same time. On one hand, I think, yes, this is true. We had a bad game. It was a bad game, really, by all sides. I think that if we didn't have those two turnovers early on, I think it definitely would have been I think it definitely had a better chance of winning this game. I thought the load off to Dawson Knox was completely ridiculous. I have no idea why that was called. That really hurt us. And I think, yeah, it's just a bad day. It was a bad night. And I don't think we should go completely bonkers, say our season is over because it's only one game.
No one is.
Who would say that?
No one is saying that.
Yeah, it's hard to go undefeated. It's hard to go undefeated. Yeah. But on the other hand, like, I could also say that fans, of course, are trying to say, like, it's the same underlying issues that this team has been dealing with for years, that they seem to have, from a lack of other big X-factor playmakers aside from Josh Allen and James Cook, you know, on offense and defense. It doesn't really seem like we have that real X-factor game changer on defense, you know. I mean, we thought we were going to have that a couple years ago with Von Miller, but instead he became a what-if. And, you know, now you just have this, again, like these solid players, but guys that, like, you know, aside from getting, like, some big-time takeaways, not really making the big things that we need. Like, you know, the third down defense is absolutely atrocious. The secondary was getting burned up all around, and Trey White clearly should not be in that cornerback two position. And I don't even know who else you could put in because, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know if we should. I think they're definitely going to play Maxwell Harrison at some point and give him a chance. And I think they'll probably ease him in, maybe not have him, like, play all the snaps right away. But considering that the time he got injured and the time that he's missed, it's very head-scratching for me. But
like, well, it's just what happened. And there's no mystery. It's just he got hurt. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course they will want him to play when he's able. So I would assume that that happens as soon as they think it's possible. New England 3-for-9 on third down last night.
Yeah, the third down defense has been a problem for the Bills early in this season. It was not a problem for them yesterday. I think Dorian Strong was playing snaps against New Orleans, not because of any injury, but because they're looking for something to stabilize that other corner position. And he had suffered a neck injury, and just so I think they were just living and dying with Trey White. It's been a problem so far. Like, whatever we talked about last week, whatever order I prioritize defensive help in, I feel like corner is getting bumped up the board.
And Strong went to IR, right?
I didn't see that he went right to IR. Wow.
I think so. Okay. 4 weeks. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Eric Wood at 4, Buffalo Football Monday on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.